Hi, my name is Adina Schmimann, Director of the OU Women's Initiative. Join me in supporting the programming you love at ou.org/women23. It's your donation that helps to create Torah, leadership, and community engagement programs. Programs that you love, Tori Mecha Nachyomi, Tori Mecha Parsha, Rosh Chodesh Lunch and Learn, Counting Towards Sinai, Ideas and Inspiration for the Chagim, the Max and Yeti Manderer, Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Beit Midrash, Mikvah Attendant Professional Development, Rebbetzin Kala Teacher Kirv and Chinuch Professional Fellowship and Conference, the Challenge Grant Initiative to support community programming, the Art of Speaking course, Lay Leadership Conference, and support. Your gift has worldwide reach as together we build a community of engagement and inspiration together. To support these programs, go to ou.org/women23. Thank you for being part of the OU Women's Initiative community. And now for today's presentation.
Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be studying Perek Kuf Dalet 104. The previous chapter 103 was an extremely personal song of thanksgiving, which each of us could sing about our own lives, our unique perspective and relationship with Hashem based on our own experiences. What happens is that Perek transitions from my own personal life to me as a member of the Jewish people and then as a member of Hashem's world. It is consistently personal, but the lens zooms further and further out, as happens when a plane takes off and we can see more and more of the city as we fly higher above it. The Mizmor, which began so focused on my own life, zooms out to encompass more and more as I learn that my own personal journey is a tiny puzzle piece in the entire cosmic plan of Hashem. This chapter 104 is very different. It almost does the journey in reverse. It is a perspective about Hashem as a creator of this magnificent world. As David HaMelech cries out to his soul, look at this world, this stunning, magnificent world, and in it see the brilliance of the creator. And when you do, when you recognize Hashem in his world, understand that he made you, my dear nefesh, my dear soul, and that he has a plan for you in this beautiful world. So let us serve him from this place. The chapter actually describes creation and follows the order of Bereishis, but it is not just a listing of what Hashem created. It begs us to see how everything Hashem made, he created to benefit us in the best way possible. This beautiful chapter is an important one, and we actually read it many times throughout the year. We read it on Rosh Chodesh, and in some congregations, Shabbos Mincha in the winter months. Before we delve into it, I'd like to reference one more idea in order to understand its importance and significance. The Rambam Maimonides, in his foundational halachic work, Mishnah Torah, section Yesodei Torah, chapter 2, explains the mitzvah of loving Hashem. The truth is, all the mitzvos in the Torah that demand an emotion are a little tricky. When the Torah tells me to give tzedakah, I can do that. Tell me to keep Shabbos, I can do that too. But the Torah also tells us, Es Hashem Elokecha Tirah, you should fear Hashem. Va'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, you must love Hashem. How can I be told to have an emotion? Can a feeling be legislated? Either it's there or it isn't. The Rambam tells us that what is being asked of us is to engage in a process that will ultimately bring us to love Hashem and fear him too. I'd like to quote directly from the translation of Mishnah Torah. What is the path to attain love and fear him? When a person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds and creations and appreciates his infinite wisdom that surpasses all comparison, he will immediately love, praise, and glorify Hashem, yearning with tremendous desire to know Hashem's great name. As David stated, my soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. Tehillim 42. When he continues to reflect on these same matters, he will immediately recoil in awe and fear, appreciating how he is a tiny, lowly, and
dark creature, standing with his flimsy limited wisdom before he who is of perfect knowledge. As David stated, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I wonder what is man that you shall recall him. Also Tehillim, chapter 8. In fact, it is the study of Hashem's magnificent world that can bring us to love Hashem and fear him. I actually tell my high school students all the time that with the right attitude and kavana, they could get a mitzvah for every moment spent studying math, science, and even history. As in actuality, they are learning Hashem's ways and creations. And that, perhaps, is the power of this chapter. It draws our attention to the wisdom in Hashem's world, the compassion in each detail, and the beautiful harmony of it all. Verse 1. Barchi nafshi es Hashem, Hashem Elokai gadalta ma'od, hod v'hadr lavashta. Bless Hashem, my soul. O Hashem, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in glory and majesty. And verse 2, Ote or kisalma note shamayim kayuria, wrapped in a robe of light, you spread the heavens like a curtain. Curtains. Many of the classical and more modern books on Jewish philosophy talk about the idea of the 10 ma'amaros, the 10 sayings Hashem created this world with. With each command, Hashem filled the world with more creations. Yihi or, let there be light. Tadshe ha'aretz, let the earth sprout. But as the world was filling up, it was also, so to speak, hiding Hashem's presence more and more, laying curtain after curtain over the presence of Hashem, until it becomes a truly difficult challenge to see Hashem in his world. In fact, the Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chidushe Harim, as saying that the 10 ma'amaros, the 10 sayings of creation, became the 10 dibros, the 10 commandments, through the 10 makos, the 10 plagues. In other words, Exodus lifted those curtains in order to show us that truly it is all Hashem's world. The very first curtain, albeit ever so thin and transparent, was Yihi Or, let there be light. As soon as there was any form of light, we could technically forget that all energy, power, and light is truly God. So that is the robe, the curtain, so to speak, of light in this verse, Ote Or Kesalma, wrapped in a robe of light. And now we get into the many subsequent layers of creation. But it's not just a list of creations, it is a song to remind us of the miraculous nature of every aspect and also how interrelated and symbiotic every creature in Hashem's world actually is. Rav Hirsch cautions us that sometimes the very study of the grandeur, magnificence, and enormity of Hashem's world can cause us to feel so small that we start to believe we are insignificant. That is also the beauty of this chapter. While it is so rich in the details of creations of the world, it consistently brings back the idea that Hashem had all of his creatures in mind in this creation. From the streams to the treetops, everything provides. We are in effect going on a virtual nature walk with David HaMelech, examining the world to discover the beauty and peace of Hashem's world. So now back to verse 4. Oseh malachav ruchos misharasav eish lohet. He makes the winds his messengers, the flames of fire his ministers. This is day 2 of creation. Do we think about the wind enough? Radak explains that Tehillim reminds us the wind is the messenger of Hashem, because nothing, not even the intensity, the direction of wind, is happenstance. Everything was planned by Hashem. And then we transition to the formation of land. Verse 5, Yasad Eretz al Mechoneha bal timot olam ve'ed. He established the earth on its firm foundations, never to be moved. And how at first it was all covered in water. Verse 6, you covered it with deep oceans as with a garment. And then on the third day, you commanded for the water that had been covering the earth to move to the oceans. Verse 7, Min ga'arascha yinusun, min kol ra'amcha yechafezun. The waters fled from before your raging wind. They hurried away at the sound of your thunder. Verse 8, Ya'alu harim yerdu b'ka'os el mekom zeh yisadata lahem. Rose over the mountains and flow down into the valleys to the place you established for them. or, as Rav Hirsch explains, you altered the topography of earth and lifted mountains and lowered valleys, and that is how you sent the waters to where you wanted them to flow. Verse 9, Gvul samta bal ya'avorun bal yeshuvun l'chasos ha'aretz. You set the boundary that they may not cross, so that they will not return to inundate the earth. The bracha that we make every morning, Haroka ha'aretz al hamayim, that Hashem spreads the earth above the waters, thanks Hashem for pushing the water into the ocean and making it stay there. It is petrifying to think about the consequences that would occur if Hashem would not do that. But it's more than that. You sent the water to where it was needed. Verse 10, you make springs gush forth in torrents. They make their ways between the hills. But why? They deliver drinking water to every beast of the field. In verse 11. And verse 14 begins the discussion of the creation of vegetation and food. You make the grass grow for cattle and herbage for man's labor, that he may get food out of the earth. And not just that, but trees. Trees that provide fruits and shade and the very special fruits, wine and oil. Verse 15. Yayin yisamach levav enosh lahatil panim mishamen velechem levav enosh yisad. Wine that cheers the hearts of men, oil that makes the face shine, and bread that sustains man's life. This verse speaks of wine, oil, and wheat. The sustenance of the flour, the joy of the wine, and the light and prosperity of oil. These ingredients that accompanied almost every service in the temple. Bamidbar 15 instructs that even if an individual chooses voluntarily to bring an offering of an animal, he is required to add both a mincha, grain service, and a nesach, wine service, to his karban. Rav Hirsch explains that these plants, oil, wine, and flour, represents the elements necessary for existence, prosperity, and happiness, and that these too belong to Hashem. But trees provide more than fruit. In verse 17 and 18, David HaMelech speaks of the tree as a home, a refuge, and habitat, each one for a different creature. Verse 17, there's where the birds make their nests, and for the stork, cypresses are its home. Verse 18, high mountains are for the wild goat. Rocks provide refuge for the badgers. And then the chapter moves to discuss the luminaries, providing much more than light. Our entire calendar of holidays is dependent on it. As in verse 19, Asaya Reach Lamoadim, he made the moon for holidays. It is in fact because of this verse that we say this chapter every Rosh Chodesh, as of course it is the determining of Rosh Chodesh that sets the monthly calendar of holidays. It is seeing the first rays of the reappearing moon that allows us to begin counting the new month. Verse 20, and the daily rising and setting of the sun allows the nocturnal animals to feed, while man can safely get some rest. Tashes choshech v'yi laila bo tirmos kol chai so ya'ar. You bring on darkness, and it is night, and that is when all the beasts of the forest creep forth. Verse 21, then the young lions roar after their prey to seek their food from God. And verse 22, the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens to rest, and then it's time for us to wake up. Verse 23, Yetze Adam lefa'alo v'la'avodaso ade arev. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. This all leads us to verse 24. After our virtual nature walk that we have engaged in, we are so moved to cry out, wow, Hashem, what a world. And Hashem, we see you in your world. We are not fooled by the curtains. We will peek under all of them and see your signature. Ma rabu masecha Hashem, kulam b'chachma asisa, mal'aha aretz kinyanecha, how many and great are your creations, Hashem. You made them all with wisdom. The entire earth is filled with your creations. We go on to talk about the sea and the creatures of the sea and how all the creatures of the world absolutely rely on your benevolence to feed them and care for them. Verse 27, all of them look to you to give them their food when it is due. 28, give it to them, they gather it up, open your hand, they are well satisfied. And verse 29, hide your face, they are terrified. Take away their breath, they perish and turn again into dust. And verse 30, send back your breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So Hashem, we have concluded our nature walk. We have seen your world. We have seen you. And so I turn inward and say, Yihi chavod Hashem la'olam yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. May Hashem rejoice in his works. Or, as Rav Hirsch says, Hashem's glory will be forever. That is not the question. The only question is, will Hashem be pleased with his creations? Hashem, who made everything, created everything, left one item undetermined, and that is our behavior. He made this magnificent world and figuratively handed us the controls, put us in the driver's seat, and said, it's up to you. Will you drive this world safely? Will you uplift it? Will you use it to connect to me? The question of whether Hashem will indeed be happy with his creations is a real one and a frightening one. It didn't have to be this way. Hashem, of course, had the power to hold on to the controls. 32.
Hamavid la'aretz vater'ad yiga baharim v'ye'eshanu. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. Hashem, with one touch, with one look, could obviously force obedience, but he doesn't. And so I turn to Hashem and I declare, Hashem, with my life, with the power that I have, I will sing to Hashem. I will serve Hashem. 33, Ashira l'Hashem b'chayai, azamra l'elokai ba'odi. I will sing to Hashem as long as I live. All my life, I will chant hymns to my God. 34, Ye'erav alav sichi anochi esmach b'Hashem. May my prayer be pleasing to him. I will rejoice in Hashem. My greatest wish, Hashem, is that everyone join in my song, that there will be no more sinners and no more sins. Yitamu chata'im min ha'aretz, verse 35. Urisha'im odeinam, baruch inafshi es Hashem, halleluka. May sinners disappear from the earth and the wicked be no more. And once again, David HaMelech turns to his own soul and says, baruch inafshi es Hashem, halleluka. Bless Hashem, my soul. Hallelujah. There are 10 words for song, and the greatest, highest one is Hallelujah. The Medrash tells us this is the first time that David HaMelech has employed the use of this word, and he does so after envisioning a world finally empty of sin. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishma, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.